Soon afterward, Jesus went to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up, and he began to speak. And he gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report concerning him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the scriptures in the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, we hear many stories about the miraculous power of God. In this gospel that I just read to you, we hear about the power of the Son of God, Jesus, to raise someone from the dead. And it's good for us to pray to God for miracles. Every one of us at some point in our life will ask God for some miracle. We want some miracle for ourselves or miracles for others, perhaps a miracle for healing or liberty from some addiction or enslavement, or perhaps a miracle of healing a relationship that's broken. And we should pray to God for miracles, but we should pray to God for these gifts and blessings with tremendous confidence in Him, with great faith and devotion to the Lord Jesus. But above all, we need to trust in the higher plan of God. You know, what happens to us is when we pray to God for various blessings and graces in our own lives or the lives of others, we almost limit God's power to this world only. It's as if we want this, we want that, but we only care about our course in this world. We have to think about eternity, and we have to remember there is a higher plan, that God has a plan for us that's beyond life in this world that is eternal. Our Lord has a plan that is eternal for every single one of us. And when we approach the mystery of God with prayers and supplications for various gifts and blessings, we need to have this trust in the higher plan of God. Think about what happened in this gospel. Here we have a young man who has died, and his death has brought tremendous sorrow to his mother and probably to other relatives and friends. And then Christ intervenes in the situation, and he works this amazing miracle, and the man is alive again. And then after that, the miracle leads people to put faith in Christ. They become convinced that God is visiting his people in Jesus. And the fact that God has visited them in Jesus really gives them a sense of wonder and awe. But think about this young man. He has died once, now he's alive, but he's going to die again. At some point in his life, he's going to face more sufferings and crosses, and he'll have to face death a second time. Now, can you imagine if that happened to you? You're coming up near to the end of your life with all of the suffering and torment that entails, and you die. And then Christ raises you up, you're alive again in this world, and then years later, you have to face death again. And not only would he have to face death, but people who knew him would have to face his death at some point again. But that miracle would have to lead that young man and his friends to have faith in Jesus, to really believe that he is the Son of God. And what would be necessary for him for the rest of his life is to remember Jesus Christ, to remember the great gift of God visiting him personally in his Son Jesus. And when he would face any kind of suffering or hardship, he would need to hold on to that faith. You know that in the Old Testament, one of the greatest challenges that faces God's people Israel is when their enemies say, "Where is your God?" And in the Psalms, this is made aware to us that the Israelites don't like that question, "Where is your God?" And what's necessary for us is to keep faith in the Lord. Because every one of us at some point or another is going to face that question which leads to doubt. Where is your God? We cannot doubt. We have to respond with faith. That young man might have had that question when he faced death the second time. Where are you, Jesus? You worked this miracle one time for me, but where are you now? And who knows what other difficulties he faced in his life. But to that question, where is Christ? Where is God? He would have to not respond with doubt, but respond to that question with faith. This is a challenge for us to keep our faith in Christ. It's kind of interesting in the gospel that when Jesus sees or hears this report about the death of this young man, in a certain way, he ignores it. He says, do not weep. Now, can you imagine if you're going through some terrible difficulty, some hardship in your life, and it's weighing you down, and someone comes up to you and says, don't worry about that. Have faith in God. God loves you. He's got a plan for you. Trust in Him. Well, you'd probably feel a little bit annoyed. You'd be like, boy, this person doesn't really have any sensitivity to my situation. They don't understand what I'm going through. They just don't get it. But you know, we have to be more sensitive to the plan of God than we are to our own sufferings. This is a good lesson for us. When things come into our life which cause us to question God, to think about that question, where is God? Where are you now? When things happen to us that kind of lead us towards doubt in God, we should ignore them as best we can. We should pay more attention to Christ than we do to our own problems. We kind of do the opposite, though. When all kinds of troubles come to us, we focus on the problems. And sometimes we want the whole world to know what we're going through. We almost develop a kind of idol worship towards our problems. We think about them all the time. We post about them on Facebook, or we try to get everybody to stop what they're doing and think about what I'm going through. That's almost like a religion, a false religion. We're saying our problems are so important, we always have to look to them. No, we've got to pay more attention to Christ than we do to our problems. And St. Peter says in one of his letters that we have to pay attention to Christ as if we're looking at a lamp in a dark place. So much darkness can affect us, but we have to look to Jesus. If we don't, we're going to be looking toward the darkness, and we're liable to stumble and fall many times in our life in many different ways. How do we stay focused on Christ when we're going through all kinds of things in our life? Well, the answer to that is prayer. You know, prayer is very, very important. Prayer is to the soul what breathing is to the body. We need to breathe, we need to pray. Blessed Mother Teresa used to have this saying, and she would say that silence leads to prayer, and prayer leads to faith, a deepening of faith. And so think about these three things as a kind of rule for your own life. Silence leads to prayer, and prayer leads to faith. Now, the Catholic faith can be attacked. It's been attacked nonstop throughout history. But the Church responds to that with teaching, such as the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which sets forth a teaching of the faith that is a sure norm to know what the Catholic faith is. So faith can be attacked. Prayer can be attacked when people try to say prayer is a waste of time, or we might say that ourselves. We can say, no, we got to be doing work instead of praying. But we can address that too by having a disciplined life. But here's something else that gets attacked that we don't often fight too well. That is, silence gets attacked. Think about these three things of Mother Teresa. Silence, prayer, and faith. Faith can be attacked. We respond with true teaching. Prayer can be attacked. We respond with disciplining our life. But if silence is attacked, if we have no silence in our life, then our prayer life goes out the window and our faith weakens and we might lose our faith altogether. This is a modern problem. So much noise in our life. Now, if you're watching this video, I know that either you have access to YouTube or to Facebook. And sometimes we can almost become addicted to just looking at the news feed on Facebook or constantly browsing videos and posts and all things like that and Twitter. In and of itself, media is good, but if we are saturated in media and we have no silence, this silence is attacked, it's done away with in our life, then our prayer is in trouble, our faith is in trouble. And the question, where is your God, will stump us, and it will lead us to walk in the darkness. And so here is something that we should try to work on, is have this time in our life, perhaps each day, yes, each day, which we have time of silence. A certain time of silence. Make sure we're not overwhelmed or flooded with media saturation or addiction to entertainment. Time for silence so that we can pray and so that our faith in Christ will be strengthened, that we can remain focused on Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, brothers and sisters, as we move along through the present circumstances of our life, whether they are good or whether they are very, very difficult to deal with, let us renew our devotion to Christ. Let us have that silence, that prayer life, and ultimately that faith. Mother Teresa went on to say that faith leads to love, love leads to service, and service leads to peace. May we have this silence, which is like the foundation of it all, so that we can have the ability to grow in our prayer and our faith and become right now, in our present circumstances, faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this way, whatever we're going through, we shall realize that we are never alone. Jesus is with us. God bless you.